Blog Talk Radio.
The hits just keep on coming.
Let's start the show. You know what time it is.
It's the Powerhouse Squad. The Powerhouse Squad of radio.
The Powerhouse Squad is in the house. With Tone Robbins.
Live and direct, man.
Goofy Afore.
Video. I am your host, Goofy Footy.
And Brother Al.
Hey, what's up?
You know, it's not just the wisdom, it's the basis of understanding of the subject. The newest member to the Powerhouse Squad.
Sophia Alexandria.
Yeah. Once again, we are in the house. It is time. It is time to be the ones with the information, the source. As they used to say, we are the Powerhouse Squad. The Powerhouse Squad is in the house. Wait for everybody to wake up because you know what? It's been a crazy week out there. Some of us been partying since we heard about Derek Chauvin's case. Wow. Okay. So, you know, some of the Powerhouse Squad is like, okay, let's. I got this party I can go to. I can go to that one. I could go to that one. So, you know what time it is, but it's been crazy. It's been going on. So, Powerhouse Squad, sound off. Sister Sophia, I see you in the house.
Hey, everybody. How's it going?
All right. We're just waiting for Brother Tone, Brother Kobe to roll on in. You know, we want to keep it going, keep it up and rolling. And every time, you know what we do. We're going to start out with the news.
Live on NFL Radio Studios in Sanford, Maine, premium local and national and international news, keeping you updated to the current events, it's NFL Radio News, your host, Brother Alfred, of the Powerhouse Squad. So, let's get into it, and let's get ready to stay informed.
All right, folks, this is what's been going on. Check this out. In the news, latest on the news, in Tennessee, Tennessee cop won't be charged for killing a black high school student who was, believe it or not, just basically minding his own business. They say he was a suspect, you know, the quote-unquote saying he fits the profile, and it's been going, talks about, you know, just because George Floyd case has gone the way it has, are we out of the fire yet? No, we are not out of the fire. There's been some issues going on with that. Also, in the news, what's going on? Let's go find out what else going on. All right. President Biden has been pushing, and he has achieved his goal of 50 million, I believe it's 50 million vaccination shots. By this time, right on time with the cue. So basically he's trying to say is I can keep my promise and I can keep my word to the people. If you trust me, you give me your hand, I will guide you not into harm, but into prosperous situations. All right. People have also been talking about this strange relationship of friendship building between former President George Bush and Michelle Obama, and them, since they've been out there and be doing a lot of social work and the community issues and dealing with those kinds of issues, they built some kind of friendship, which is good. We need to be able to cross bounds and others see other views as we gain. You know, we try to gain a better America. You know, yes, some of us have still going through these other issues and the other problems, but we still need to be able to be a functioning way of thinking. Okay, and we need to be able to work over even the minor differences that we might have with somebody. So this is actually showing us that we can work over these differences. Okay. So, you know, I want to applaud that. And I think that's something that we all should be looking at and definitely should be getting into. So with that being said, my name is Brother Alfred, and this has been NSF News.
Live on NSF Radio Studios in Sanford, Maine, bringing local and national and international news.
Yeah, well. All right, Sister Sophia, what's going on with you today? How you doing today?
I'm doing good. How are you? How's it going?
Woo, we've been doing I just got to mention it. We have finally, even though the COVID has been hitting with us, we have finally got our 501c3 status. The radio station and the nonprofit is officially tax exempt. We are in the building. So we are there. So we are proud to say that, Sophie.
Yes.
Woo! And this has been a journey this has been a journey I had never been on before. And trust me, I've done it all and I've done seen it all. You know, but we've been basically trying to, you know, make things happen. You know, just to get this status up so we can be able to generate to help people. You know, want to be able to be out there and get that reach out there. And I'm starting to see also the app is kicking off. People have started posting questions all over the place, you know. But all, you know, so we appreciate y'all doing that and keeping that going. But, you know, beyond that, it's just been one big happy town right now. That's the term I'm going to use, happy town. So, you know, we're there. We're getting in. But what I want to get into is what we came here to talk about. We got to talk about faith. All right. First of all, we're going to be doing a two-part series. First, we want to define, what is faith? How do we determine faith? Is faith in a belief of a specific religion? Is it a specific person? Is it a specific thing? What is faith? How can we determine what faith is or how people see faith or communicate? Because some people don't believe in a higher power. There's some people that just believe, you know, maybe they might believe in themselves and that faith is themselves. You never know what people have an idea of what faith is. A generalization of it all is faith, in definition, says to is something to believe. Something that is belief or to believe in or of. And we have an understanding of what it means to believe, then we can achieve a greater understanding about thinking today's society. Now, we see people going up. You hear about the shootings been going on out there across the United States now at these supermarkets and malls and everything. But you wondering, what is the person who is doing these shootings? Did they have faith? Did they have faith in anything? Or did they just have faith that they're going to go out there and shoot people? Because you can't just shoot somebody, and you got to believe that you're going to do it. Some people, you can say, I have to psych myself up. You know, I'm psyching myself up. I'm going to do it. And then somehow you don't do it. We see this all the time, everywhere we go. People talk about, I'm going to beat him up. I'm going to beat him up. And you know what? And not to sound vulgar, it sounds like they're chicken out. They're chicken it out. And it's not being chicken out is the situation. It's that, you know, you don't believe enough in yourself or you don't have enough faith, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, with that being said, I think to define faith really is to look at the people in your environment. Psychology teaches us in the definition of psychology of normal. It says normal is defined by the atmosphere or your environment. The environment dictates your actions and your surroundings of what you attract and do not attract. If you have a positive environment, psychology teaches that you will bring a positive vibe around you in your lifetime. If you have a negative environment, a negative aspects will be attracted to you in a negative way. But you can break those things. There's tools to break these environments, but it all comes back into what do you believe in and what do you consider to be your symbol of faith. You know? So want that I'm just gonna baby put it out there. So everybody out there, then give us a call, 516-418-5805. You know the number. Or hit us up on the NSF radio app. But then go to the forum, check it out, put your post your question, hit the plus sign, you know what to do. Also, if you are listening to this up on YouTube, please don't forget at the end of the show, like, subscribe, and here get more content. We post it every week now. So what? Every show comes on, you be the first to know. All right? Get on, get with it, and let's get into it. All right? So Sister Sophia, what do you think is, how would you define faith?
Faith, like you said, this is a great topic. I'm so ready to hear what people are going to chime in and say, like the viewers out there. Can we get some love today? For me, faith, I just think, especially now in 2021, faith can mean so many different things for people, just like you mentioned. Like, it could be yourself. It could be the universe. It could be, you know, God. It could be, you know, whatever your idea of God is to you. And I think, like you said, faith, believing in something or someone, you know, or even specifically, if you're talking about religion, for some, a lot of people, faith is religion, one in one. They're, you know, they go hand in hand. And so for some, especially with the trends of the world, who are becoming what they call non-religious, and I just think it depends on who you were raised with, you know, how you were raised. And then a lot of times as you grow and become adults, that even changes. You know, some people grew up in a strong Christian home that, you know, had a strong Christian background, but now they are atheists or they're non-religious or they call themselves spiritual. So it's like your belief, whatever that belief is for you, I believe that's what faith is. So if you can believe something to the point where you don't have to see it physically or in the natural, then that's faith. Regardless, like you mentioned, all these crimes that are happening now, you have faith in something. And so your faith is in destruction. So you believe in destruction, taking away, stealing, because basically when you're committing these crimes, you're stealing someone else's life. You're taking it away from them, robbing them of their life. And so you believe in that. And so I think a lot of this has changed because of situations that happen in the world, especially since we're in one right now, the pandemic and all of that. Some people have, you know, converted to Christianity, or their faith became stronger because, oh my gosh, we're in a pandemic. I don't want to die and this and that. And I need to believe.
Right.
And a lot of times people are choosing to have faith because of fear. They don't want to die. They don't want anything. Oh, this is the end of time. So much stuff is going on. All these shootings, killing, disease, people die. Oh, I need to believe in something to make sure. You know, they're afraid. So a lot of people are, and I don't think that's the right, in my opinion, right way to go about it, to believe in something because you're afraid of something. I believe that you should come into something sober-minded, you know, making that decision. But that's what's happening in the world. I know specifically people in my family that, you know, it seems like they approach a situation with fear instead of, you know, like calm. Even I heard about this.
Yeah.
Did you say hold on?
Yeah, because you're not approaching it with calm or with a coming at it from coming with a fear. But I think it's a lot of people doing this too. I noticed that as well. And I was going to add to that was that, you know, I've seen more and more people converting into the mainstream religions. I mean, Islam, Christianity, mm-hmm. Judaism, mm-hmm. you know, Hinduism. They're practicing more and more because they feel this pandemic is coming on, or they say it might be the end of days. And, you know, it's like that. Mm-hmm. It's like that cartoon where the on American Dad where the rapture came down and the priest is still sitting there smoking a cigarette while everybody else is being raptured. And he realized, oh, there is a God. Oh, shoot. Maybe I should have done that prayer thing I supposed to have done. What was that again? You know, and he's a priest. So this is what I see on human basis that's out there with people. We talking about it, you know. Like right now, I do TikTok, I do Instagram, I do Snapchat, and there is now more and more people I see start joining the Islamic community from my point of view. And, you know, they just pile on one. They publicize it. I mean, I ain't never seen so many make their shahada online. Then they had a shahada party. I'm like, what is a shahada party? You know, they don't know how to do it. So it's like you're doing these things and you just, and, you know, the phone lines get ringing, you know. So I understand what you're saying there. And I definitely co-write that. That's just something that, you know, we're doing it. And the thing is, I like to know is why. Why is people moving so much off fear instead of logic? What is the fear factor? And why is the fear factor so important in this?
I think we've seen results from the COVID. People are dying. At first, remember they were saying, this is for people. This disease is going to affect people that's 60, 65 and older, blah, blah, blah. But we know that now people are dying at younger ages. I know people, I've heard of people through the news that died in their late 30s. Early 40s, and they had a perfectly well healthy life. From what the family knew, that the person was healthy, didn't have any issues, rarely went to the doctor, but they're dying. And so I think because of that, and then a lot of these ministers in religions are preaching, these are the end of time, this is a sign, and this and that. So people are becoming afraid, and why? Because their life is at risk. So people will do stuff when it involves them. They'll take, you know, they will become afraid because, like, I think I mentioned, I read something on the internet, I think she was a scientist, and she mentioned something about the vaccine, and she said that actually the vaccine, I watched two people that actually said this vaccine, this is not the vaccine that you should take. The guy that talked about the vaccine that you should take is because he's one of the number one people that makes vaccines, and he's like almost 100% for vaccines. He said this one is not what you take because it's killing the antibodies that you actually need. This is what's long term. It's permanent. When another disease comes in, try to attack you, it's going to make its way through because you've already killed off all of the things. And so I mentioned it to a very religious background. I mean, person, you know, people that's strong in Christianity.
Right.
And then they start talking about, are you afraid? You know, and don't say this, and no weapon formed against me shall prosper. But the thing about it, yes, you have a right to believe in what you believe in, but at the same time, you do want to use logic. You want to use wisdom, because if you believe in God, God gives wisdom to make decisions. It's not about going into things blindly, because how many pastors did we hear about that preach, I'm immune to COVID because God is going to protect me. I'm going to protect. I'm going to I'm going to
So many.
And many, they were right there, and they preached, and guess what? They died. And so a lot of people became confused, like, oh, so they were, you know, because this is what they were teaching the congregation. You are immune. You know, God is going to protect you. There's, you know, but you can't be fooled, because God also gives us wisdom. There's other diseases, just not the corona. There's cancer. There is diabetes. There's so many fatal diseases that you can have. So what makes this one so special that it's a highly contagious disease, but you are protected? I'm just saying use wisdom. I'm not saying that whatever you believe in is not right. It's great that you believe in something. But at the same time, if you believe in God, you should know that God gives you wisdom, discernment. And so you can't go and say, hey, because I believe in God, I'm going to go walk into this blindly and ignorantly. And then next thing we know, we see about you on the news, you gone, you know. So a lot of the congregation is also confused. They're like, oh, okay, so now I don't believe anymore, because why would God do this? Why would God give you disease and all of this stuff? And then also recently read a study that about globally. So a lot of the countries have strengthened their belief in faith, and there are some countries that decrease. Like South Korea is one of them. And so South Korea said, you know what, I don't anymore, because this is crazy to me. I don't understand it. You know, I don't believe in faith like I used to, because why? Why is this happening? Why is this? So it's a lot of views, and I love this conversation because it can bring so many different and new perspectives to faith.
Right.
And a lot of people need to hear this, because you have the people that's becoming stronger in faith. They say U.S. is taking the ring, you know, for increased faith. And a lot of people are doing it out of fear.
Oh,
I know, like start praying. I know families that are praying more, like praying every day, all day and stuff like that because of that. And so they're walking into it with, I don't want to lose my life. And we know people that have died from it. You know, I don't want to do this. Maybe I need to get, and some preachers are preaching that this is because there's so many wicked sins in the world. People are sinning. This disease is strictly for the sinners, the fornicators, people that are stacking up. I read that.
Yeah, you know, it's that's coming on all over across the board. You know, and we close stores out here called Cumberland Farms. It's nicknamed Cumbies. And I went to the store, you know, I'm in my traditional Muslim garments, and a group of people started approaching me. I was like, okay. I was like, can I help you? One said, assalamu alaikum, gave me the Muslim greeting. I said, wa alaikum salam. And he said, do you live out here? I said, yes. They wanted to know how to become Muslim. So I explained to him a little bit of outline about the different sects of Islam, tribes of Islam, and everything like that. I went through the whole lesson. Now, I came in there just to get me a carton of milk and maybe some gummy bears for the night. And next thing I know, I'm preaching for about in the middle of a corner gas station store, about 30 minutes, and these people just drawn. And I'm like, okay. I said, what made you want to study Islam? I asked them. Some said, you know, I've always been interested in new ways of thinking. And but then they said, you know, I don't know what's going on with me. My life is all messed up. I need some kind of, you know, I was like, okay. Now, this is not the first time I went to a supermarket and somebody just stopped me and wanted to study with you know, along. But I said, you know, I had to make sure to explain to him that I'm a student. I'm a student, not a teacher per se. I am just a student. I haven't got my doctorate degree. I'm working on that now, but I am just a student. Now, I have faith in myself, okay? because I have faith in what God gave me, the wisdom inside. So that is my understanding of faith, to believe in oneself and to believe in one's ability. Because if we go on from the Bible goes and says, you know, God rewards those who rewards themselves or, you know, helps themselves. And, you know, and you have to make that step in sacrifice, you know. And I say that that's just from a religious standpoint. Now, if we're talking to somebody that's out there that may be atheist, that don't believe in God, don't believe that there is a higher power, but they believe in themselves, I have to let you know that if you are atheist and you believe in yourself and you believe that in your abilities to do something or get something done, that is a belief system. You have created a belief system, and believe it or not, belief equals faith. So you have faith. There is faith. You can say, I don't have faith, but you have faith in yourself. And if you don't have faith in yourself, then you know what? There's something wrong. That means that there is you can live your life and not having faith in yourself, but you only limit yourself to your actions. Your actions will be limited in everything you do. Now, I've known a lot of people that have tried, that have maybe tried to gain faith. I've even heard of celebrities who started out with great faith in their beliefs, but then turned around. You can hear them on the news, I lost faith. What do you hear in those interviews all the time? I lost faith. I lost faith. I lost faith. And you hear it again and again and again, and it just keeps on happening. And you know what? But I think it's very very vital that we define the faith, understanding the nature of faith and what it means truly. Because you know, once you have a definitive answer about defining of something, then you can take that definitive answer and apply it into a building block to change your life and make a better judgment in your actions from this day on. So that is why I think this subject is something that we need to talk about and we need to bring forward to everyone and keep that, you know, keep that momentum going. Now, I see our brother is in the house. He seems like he's set up. I think he is. All right. Brother Tone, are you in the house?
What's up?
I'm in the building, guys. I'm in the building. Hello, 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 hello.
Hey. We talk about losing faith.
Thank you. Thank you.
We talk about losing faith.
We're talking about losing faith, and whose faith, why,
and faith,
everything.
Faith. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just lost faith. Because in the process of me missing the intro, I was about to pick up a second vehicle that I did a business deal on. And I get there, and it was a lemon, to say the least. I'm just trying to be as modest as I can, you know, because right now I'm having to have faith. I'm having to walk in faith in this conversation because I am pissed off. But to hear some of the dialogue that's been transpiring, I mean, there's a lot of people walking around, man. We are in a time that, I think technology and materialism has trumped the agnostic, esoteric, natural, if you want to say, Christian belief, Muslim belief. People depend on what they can feel, what they can touch, see, smell. you know, more so than a higher being these days, and especially in the younger generation, because, you know, Brother Alfred, I said it to you when we talked yesterday. We come from a place where when it was time to get up on Sundays and get ready to go to church, you know, the standard weekly practice, you getting your tail paddled if you give any resistance. Back in the day.
Like, you don't get in that car with me. If you don't get in that car right now.
Right. So you know what that did ultimately? That created for better or for worse, that created the times that we're in. Because you have people that may have totally resented religion back in the days as a whole, and it was forced upon them. Because guess what? As a child, we don't get a menu to say, hey, which religion do you want to follow?
Yeah,
you know what I mean. You're going where you're walked into, or directed to go. Even if the parents are sitting at home smoking a cigarette, sitting down watching football, and never attend a day in church, but they make sure their kids go. You know,
they make sure
their kids are ushered in by, you know, the church pickup that comes to gather up the people who, you know, don't have automobiles or whatever the case may be, or those Sunday school programs that used to be in place actively in the Protestant and Christian denominations. So lo and behold, you have parents now that are, pardon my French, they like, fug with double G, church. I'm not going there. I'm not sending my kids there. I don't want nothing to do with it. On top of all of the ridicule that comes about from the unfortunate incidents that happen by men where they prey upon people, albeit the congregation of the adults and or the numerous cases against children, you know, that has happened over time. A lot of people are just saying, I'm going to protect my child and not even send them into an environment like that. At this stage, we don't know who to trust.
Yeah.
You know, they say they represent God. They say they represent a godly-like being. However, they're creating demonstrative acts against humanity. And it's being covered up. It's being people being paid off, people being killed. So, you know, sorry for the background distractions. But that's the viewpoint in regards to why there is a lack of faith and a very much increase in people trying different things. I'm not going to say atheists. Being an atheist is on the rise, because I see a lot of people that's willing to practice esoteric, different things through the esoterics, through the tarot card readings, through the stones and crystals, albeit through incense. Some of them are into
Wiccan.
This is huge. They're in the wicker. I saw that the most popular book being sold, you know, for the people that are still avid readers that want to go and pick up hard copies of literature, Wiccary is right up there in the top, you know, bestsellers list for a lot of authors, man. So, yeah, it's a lot to ponder over, man.
Yeah. So I want to question, here's a question, and everybody has, I don't know, and this is, I don't know, has anybody... You all heard about that news TV series. It's not really new. It's been going on for, I think, about a year or something. That TV show, Viking, right? Okay. Have you noticed that the Viking religion has increased since that show was in? Have you heard more people, especially in the Caucasian, Swedish areas, or people, I'm meeting people that say, I actually met a high priest that teach the Viking religion and Odin and all of that that's out here, and it's become a dominant to the point that they have a temple and a belief in it, and you know, and it's I've noticed things like that on the rise too. People thirst to believe in something.
Go ahead. Yeah, I'm gonna say this. If it's an occult situation, I mean everything about the occult world, and every level of the occult is the surfaces of it are being scratched at this time. I mean, so what you're saying to me kind of seems like, and I didn't notice as a child, but the people who are so wrapped up into the Dungeons and Dragons, that's an occult.
Yep.
That's an occult. That's an occult following where they are trying to go with the medieval times, medieval ways of philosophies and things of that nature. And some people literally in their mental psyche, you know, they go out in the world and they do their tasks that they need to survive. But then their group, their foundational group and who they are part of, I mean, it's just like sex, you know, where you got dominatrix, submissive people. They have some cultures in the occult that exist, and these people really channel themselves and transition into that when they're not fixated in the matrix.
Well, so that brings up excellent question of if these are what people are doing in these cultures and in out there in this world, what are the five steps to sustain a stable faith? What kind of things can you do to make sure that if you do not have faith or you have any faith at all, what can you all give advice to those who are listening, tries to say, how can you have a stable, give me five steps that I can make that can, at least generally five, to make my faith or whatever I believe in to be stable and help me balance myself. What do I need to balance myself on with these steps?
Well, I think number one, you should always use your intuition, that gut feeling that you have, because I believe that as beings of nature, we automatically have that. So sometimes you can walk into a situation and you feel something. How many times have we heard of people, their lives being saved because they went off their gut? Like, something told me just to pull over to the side. This actually happened to my father when I was a teenager. He worked on the railroad, so he would travel a lot of times, and it was a place of snowy. He was driving back home on his way to us. He could have not almost made it, but something in his gut said, hey, this is what you need to do. So he had almost fell off a cliff full of snow. That was it. That was going to be the end of it. But something told him to do his will some sort of way. He can explain it. And it saved his life. And so I've heard of, I believe the first step is, you know, regardless of what you believe in, as natural beings of this earth, of this universe, we were created with an intuition, a gut feeling, something that we just feel in the inside without even experiencing it. We know. When you listen to that, I think you'll be guided in the right ways. But a lot of times we ignore it, and we ignore it, and we become so used to ignoring it that we just walk in whatever we want to do. Thus, we have all the stuff that happens in the world, you know, all of these wrong decisions that we regret, you know, things like that. So I would say the first step is definitely that, listening to that. And then also, if you're going to believe in something, you should definitely stand for it. Like, no matter what somebody else come and say, like, for example, you, Brother Alfred, Brother Tone, y'all can come and say whatever you want to say. And if this is my faith, I shouldn't be wavering.
Strong in.
Yes. I should be strong in it. So those are my two steps. So any of y'all want to help out with the next three steps, I just believe that number one is the most important because we all have that. You should go. So, like, if you have questions about something, you just can't figure out, stand still. That's what I always say. Just wait. Don't do nothing. Don't respond to anything until you get that answer.
Well, I'm gonna put my one. Okay. If you believe in something or you have a belief in something, stay strong in it, but at the same time, open your mind to a greater possibility of something. I'm not being specific, but because let me tell you something. Someone was talking about when you was kids, we told, okay, you're but going to church. Okay. Now, if I kept my mind narrow enough that all I saw was what mama told me to do, then I would never open my mind up and develop the way I think now and be determined to expand my horizon. So I feel be steadfast.
Yeah.
But remember, and just keep that mind straight, but at the same time, open your mind up to new possibilities. And that will be my one to basically send to anybody. Now, Tone, I will let you go and finish it off right there. That's all I have was one.
Okay. All right.
Together we're going to make
y'all gotta, five. You fine. I want y'all to bear with me as I'm falling off the off this mountain right here. So I'm hoping that the reception holds up. So
all right.
At any point when you can't hear me, just say hey, so I can stop talking. But
all right.
here's my take, right? Just like I said, you know, I dialed in today, and I was under duress. I was frustrated, but instead of doing something that I personally would have felt like I tried to weasel out at the last minute because of my personal circumstances, I remain committed. I remain committed to this show, to the group of people that I'm having dialogue with right now. And that's a part of faith, that a serious part of faith. You have to be committed. Because if it's a principle and you believe,
okay,
good. Can you hear me now?
I hear you now.
Can you hear me now? Okay. Thank you.
Good.
What I was saying was, if you are committed to faith and you are a believer in whatever religion that you are part of, nothing should come against your God at all. They could say your God ain't the right God, and that's okay, because you should be so devout in what you believe over a period of time. Nothing should break you. Now, that brings me to another point with where we are with religion. And I'm giving. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay. That brings up another point to where we're getting the pro and the con. So I'm giving you the pro of being committed, but it also falls in the con category now as well, because how many people start out as Christians and convert to Muslims? How many Muslims have converted to Christianity, and so on and so on, from other different backgrounds of religion? I don't call Buddhist a religion, because it's written that it's not a religion. Right. So that commitment is one, you know, not to drag out the process, but another part of it is definitely action. I will say this. I can't point at the sky and say what's there, what's moving us as human beings, as a whole on this planet.
Mm-hmm.
But there's definitely something exceptional there that has put up a force field in my life personally where I could have been murdered a few times. I was walking at the back of a pack. This is in high school. It's a personal testimony. I'm walking at the back of the pack. We just coming from getting some chicken wings. I'm feeling good. I enjoyed my meal. You know, I had lemon pepper wings before it was even a thing.
Okay.
Right, back in 1996. So, I don't have my wings. You know, you're gonna be a storyteller. Hey, brother Alvin, you're gonna be a storyteller. You got to be a good storyteller. So that's why I had to put that in there like that. So I'm at the back.
Lemon pepper chicken wings.
I'm at the back of the line. We walking down the sidewalk, and if you remember that famous Beatles album cover where they were crossing the street.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
So just think of the process like that. So I'm the last man in the back. All of a sudden.
Oh, so you're Ringo. You're Ringo.
There you go. So, hey, and matter of fact, he was a Cancerian, so that's perfect right there. So, nonetheless, I'm sitting there and I'm walking, and everybody, you know, they're talking, they're horse playing around. I probably was a junior in high school at the time. Man, next thing y'all hear is boop, boop, boop. Damn. Everybody on the ground. I'm just looking around like, I'm ho-hum about life. Like, it happened so fast. Nobody was hit.
You must have hit that Cedric and Taylor comedy show.
But I want to say this. But as everyone ducked in their awareness, whatever the Most High, the Creator, had a force field around me because I was not impacted. I didn't feel fear at all. I just looked at the circumstances, the situation, like, damn, that's crazy. Somebody was shooting at us. Like, literally, I can't even believe this. But at the same time, I was unmoved. I was unmoved.
Mm.
Now, I'm gonna give y'all some more crazy stories. Y'all gonna be like, man, where is man from? But I'm walking down the street. I see the man from an angle. I can see three people from an angle approaching me. I recognize their face because I go to school with them. So I'm in the seventh grade. Guy cuts clearly across the field, and he was coming to attempt to rob me. They walk up on me, and they got close to me. So I'm going to sit right here. I can flip my pockets and say, I ain't got no money.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll be that. It went a little further. So the guy felt brazen. Again, I knew who this person was. They're not wearing a mask. Put the gun smack in the center of my head. And I said to him, I said, my guy, let me tell you something. You better kill me today. Because you will have to pay for this. You better kill me today. And he proceeded to try to pull the trigger. It was a revolver. Mm-hmm. And he kept clicking that thing, click, click, click. It would not.
Oh, my God.
It would not go. He clicked it a few times. And I said, don't worry. You'll have your day. And I'm not going to tell what happened after that. But. I'm not going to incriminate myself. But the last part, the last story was I'm driving home from work. I'm not speeding. I'm on Interstate 20 traveling west. And so if you know Interstate 20 in Georgia, you know it's about six, maybe seven lanes. It's a very big road, fast-paced road. Battle of the Bands was going on that particular weekend in Atlanta. and Roy Jones Jr. was still in his prime, and I was trying to get home so I could see that HBO. You can't hear me.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay, I was trying to get home and see that Roy Jones Jr. fight. Now, I'm in my Mercury Grand Marquis. I'm feeling good. Everything's good. I called, checked in. Hey, babe, I'm on my way. Get some food ready for me. I'll be there in a few minutes. I'm about 10, 15 minutes away. I'm watching this pickup truck come through and slice through all the lanes behind me. I can see it.
When
it got to the nose of my car, the back end of the truck, it was one of those trucks with a lift on it, lift kit on it. It clipped the nose of my car, sent me into a spin, and I'm going to tell you what I was saying as I was turning, and I'll never forget this. I say, God, I ain't dying tonight. I'm not dying tonight, God. I'm not dying tonight. I'm not dying. And I kept reverse turning that wheel because I'm literally going in a 360. Everybody's traveling at 65 or better. And guess what happened?
What?
On that last spin, as I'm reversing that wheel and this car is spinning. Spinning out of control like NASCAR. You know what I looked at? I looked at a semi. I saw was the lights of the semi coming dead at me.
Ooh, like a deer in headlights.
And look, it was like a crazy amusement ride. So I stared down because the car was initially the front of the car was facing the oncoming traffic in the spin at this time. I'm facing the tractor trailer coming down. I ain't dying tonight. I'm spinning that wheel.
Right.
And I'm going to tell you like a damn video game. That mother sucker spent around one more time and slid. And it stopped 2 inches from the median, parked perfectly forward. And I got out that car trembling, shaking so crazy. And I'm sorry, y'all.
Woo!
And the truck that hit me had pulled up.
What?
They acknowledged they hit me.
Wow.
They didn't acknowledge they hit me. They pulled over to check their car. And they backed up afterwards. And the guy and his girlfriend came down and said, "You hit our car."
What?
I was like, what?
No, you hit me.
Ooh, I would have lost myself.
Nah, man, because you know what? I'm looking up. I don't have, you know how the Mercury Grand Marquis are. It's just plastic. They're fiberglass.
Yeah.
Like,
of course you know so.
So imagine somebody knocking my lips and my chin off. So I ain't have no lips. I ain't have no chin. All I had was the cylinder there for the radiator in the front of the car. And
oh,
I'm just
my
like,
God.
They came out and said, "I can't determine what happened. You guys just deal with it yourself." I'm still trembling, man, like I was in the Thriller video and I had seen Michael Jackson turn into the werewolf in real life. I said, you know what? Guess what? I say thank you, God, and I'm going home. I'll see y'all the hell later. And I got in that car, not knowing if it could crank up or not. I turned that key, and that thing went smooth, just like nothing happened to it. Goo-goo. And I just eased on down the road, man.
Wow.
So, with all that said, there is something in this universe that is protecting you when it ain't your time.
Yeah. Yes, that's right.
Right.
I have a question. So during that experience or any of those experiences, would you say you had a gut reaction?
Did I have a gut reaction?
Yeah.
Yeah, I had the gut reaction watching the assailants come from an angle. I'm like, oh, God. something is about to happen to me. I don't know what's gonna happen, but it's three people coming at me right now, and I know it's not gonna be it's not gonna end well. So I can see that. Now the other
what
situation.
What
did your
reaction
lead
to? Did it cause you to act in some way?
It made me become very calm. Because
that's what I'm talking about. Peace.
It brought peace within, because I'm not a bad person. I'm not bothering anyone, so I'm not disrupting the universe and the laws of nature in that process.
Mm-hmm.
So I was able to rationalize with myself, slip my money in my pants, have a game plan for them with this robbery attempt that ultimately went down, and then also have the bravery enough to stand up to them to say, I'm not scared of you. I'm not afraid of you mm-hmm. just because you have a pistol mm-hmm. in your hand. And the Most High protected me and say, hey, y'all want to touch him. You can't touch him, and you sure enough not going to take him.
Because
I'm not going to let it happen.
Mm-hmm.
So that was that, and like I said, in the car situation, let me tell you something. Defensive driving, you can be a defensive driver all you want, but nothing will prepare you for something like that. Where I had it inset in my mind once the impact happened, because I could see it from an angle about to happen. You know, I'm feeling it before it even happened, and mm-hmm. my reaction was, I'm not gonna die. You're not finna have me mangled, ran over, blood splattered all over this road. It's not my time. And so I'm speaking mm-hmm. that and that process the entire time as I'm wheeling that wheel opposite direction to try to keep that car on the road from flipping over somehow, some way. And Lord knows, I'm still here. That happened, like I said, Roy Jones was fighting. That had to be around 2004, 2003, 2021. I'm still able to tell that story.
Wow.
Wow.
You know, if you believe in something strong enough, yes, it will get you there. So I totally agree with that. Wow, those are amazing stories.
Well, you know what? I want to give everybody a shout out real quick to listen up and let you all know that, listen, if you have a question for the show, you can call in live. Don't forget 516-418-5805. Or hit us up in the app. Make sure you address it out to the Powerhouse Squad and get into that. If you do not have the app, every time we're on the show, we want everybody to know you can post your questions. We are watching. Trust me, we got our app, the Powerhouse Squad. We got our phones with them, our apps right there for you. And we are watching. Any questions you have for the show, or especially on today's subject, we're talking about faith. First, we're trying to define it. Next show, we're going to definitely get into it, break it down. But we also like to give a shout out to everybody, let you know it's Ramadan, the holy month of Ramadan. So, you know, Assalamu alaikum, rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You know, Ramadan Mubarak to all those out there and around there, and our fans in Medina. And give a shout out to one of my boy, Habib. I know you out there, man. I heard you got the good job now working at the Kaaba. So, lucky brother. Okay. But I got to go pay the bills. Be back in 2 and 2.
Just what you say, that you're good and your love is great. I'm broken inside, I give you my life. I need you to soften my heart, to break me apart. I need you to pierce through the dark and cleanse every part of me. All I am, I surrender. Give me faith to trust what you say, that you're good and your love is great. I'm broken inside, I give you my what do you say, that you're good and your love is great. I'm broken inside, I give you my life. Oh, give me faith to trust what you that you're good and your love is great. I'm broken inside, I give you my life. Yeah. I may be weak, strong in me, my flesh may fail, but my God, you never will. I may be weak, your spirit's strong in me, my flesh may fail, my God, you never will. I may be weak, your spirit's strong in me, my flesh may fail, but my God, you never will. I may be weak, your spirit's strong in me. My flesh may fail, but my God, you never will.
Warning, radioactive zone detected. Please enter with 20 moves. Take a break and enjoy the show. This is Radio El Duende.
Yes. Radio. Back to the show.
Yeah. What's up? Coming up to part two. All right. Let's see. We've talked about defining it the best way we can. You know, couple shout outs to everybody out there, what's going on. And since we talked about it in the news, but let's bring it back up now. You want to talk about the Derek Chauvin case, aka the George Floyd case issue? That's a symbol of faith. Okay, we're gonna look at it from this point of a story of faith. a man was killed by somebody that was sworn to protect the serf and protect him, to make sure that he can go home and sleep in peace. A person that takes an oath to uplift the Constitution of his nation, and as well as everybody's nation, and to uphold the Constitution of that government or state. And to violate that of a citizen of that contract, and to violate that, and as a person of that Constitution as well, is a dangerous thing. To abuse power is a dangerous thing. Because if you're abusing power, you are telling people, worship me, not the God or the higher power, per se. When you sit there and you look at a man and demean that man down to nothing, because yes, they met before. Apparently, they met at a club before. Sullivan met Floyd, and Floyd was a bouncer. Sullivan was there with them, worked together before he became a cop. We've heard that story. Now we see, and we come to the future time when they meet up again. This time, Chauvin is the police officer. Floyd is now a suspect. He is accused of giving the store a phony $20 bill. Cops coming to investigate him and ask him some questions. The cops accuse him, put him in handcuffs, and then Chauvin proceeds with his so-called quote-unquote partners and other officers to restrain this one man. Are you saying that you are now the mighty God and I should submit to you? Are you my faith, that my beliefs should be in you? Or should I believe in what I have come to know as freedom or my higher power, which is my God? So that is a violation. And that causes confusion as well. So I say to people, when we talk about faith and to define something to mean to have a better understanding of something or what it is, and to have a better understanding by that terminology, they say cop is God, and God is lower than being a cop. And that's the interpretation that you would get out of that. So when someone says, I'm dissatisfied in the actions with George Floyd, it's the demeaning of the person's God that they have put above the cop, because 99% of the time when you hear somebody that just get in the courtroom and says, God, thank you. God got my back. God can cover me. You know, they invoke the God symbol or language interjected into their language of living because they are defining that God or the belief in something will help them get through a tough and difficult issue or time. If we do not look at it like that, then we are assuming that we can put idols, which in most religions is considered a sin, ahead of what we truly believe, or we quote that we say we believe. But to believe into something and not able to have a clear understanding of what you believe in, whether it's in a god, a symbol, or a totem, is to be anonymous among people who have understanding. And that could bring confusion. In 1998, there was a professor at Yale who was doing a study on basically how the brain waves work. You may have noticed that sometimes you can say something that somebody else might be thinking exactly at the exact same time. So this professor in this time, during this case study, determined that we have a frequency between each other, meaning we use the term vibe.
Mm-hmm.
So if your vibe and frequency is on the same as mine, I can sense what you are trying to think or what you are trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
That meaning that you and I are telecommunicating with each other to be able to get a message. So I say all that to be this. The professor used ants because you really look at ants and how they communicate with each other. Bees are simple because they use sort of like a sign language or a dance to communicate. But ants use a telecommunication broadcasting between each other. And when you have faith in something, you're putting yourself in sync with somebody else who thinks, who wants to think the same way you think. And if you both are on the same wavelength, then you are achieving a strength of faith. And that can produce a positive reaction. Now, if you think in a negative reaction and somebody's thinking in a positive reaction, the negative can affect the positive as great as the positive can affect the negative. And if the faith is not there in strength, then you are doomed to be vulnerable to other people's way of thinking, and then when that occurs, negative actions can occur as well. So I tell people, and I say this, I'm not trying to sound like Jerry Springer, so this is not my closing argument. So, but I'm saying to people that if we're going to define faith, we must define our true nature and our purpose in our lives. And to understand your true nature and your purpose, more likely, what is your purpose? Yeah, well, your purpose is to do one thing and one thing only. And this is the best advice I can give anybody out there. I don't care if you're young, old, male, female, white, black, or whatever, or even purple. I tell you right now, if you do not have understanding of your purpose and your nature of your purpose, your faith will diminish no matter what you believe in life. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
So I want to ask everybody, when we said about we went into the five steps, but let's look at the final step. The final step is this. If you are going to coexist in a world with multiple minds and multiple ways of thinking, you have to learn to see two perspectives. Not one, but two perspectives. Never think in the singular, thinking in a two, in a dual. Because think about it. The brain is divided into two parts, the left and the right hemisphere, the forward and the back. That's two. If the brain is divided into two, then you have to have two perspectives. So I'm telling everybody to think like this. You have a fence. You think this way on this side of the fence. but the other person thinks another way on their side of the fence. Can you honestly tell me and sit here and tell me that you can understand the perspective of the other person? And if you cannot, that's why you have disagreements with the other person on the other side of the fence. Racism is a form of faith in your community, because that is a form of basically disagreeing with somebody's way of thinking, and I have faith that what I believe is correct or what I see is incorrect. Now, when you're dealing with these issues on a daily basis, ask yourself two questions. You may be the non-racist person in that so-called environment or situation, and the other person might be the racist person in their environment. Can you clearly tell me you understand the person that is being racist way of thinking? Or can you understand how they think like that and why they think like that? Yes, you may understand your perspective, because your perspective is what you know is to be right. But how do you know what's going on the other person's perspective? If you do not, like the old saying is, if you don't walk a mile in my shoes, you cannot speak on me. Because you don't know what I've been through that made me into the person I am today. So if somebody takes something from me, or deny something from me, can you honestly understand both sides of the picture? If you cannot do that, you're going to have problems. So my advice to everybody that's out there that listens, look at what you are about to do or what you have done, and ask yourself this question. Have I looked at both sides of the fence? And if you have not, go back, analyze it. Don't overanalyze it. Dissect it to the point where you can come with clarity. And once you have clarity on that subject, then you will have obtained or sustained a better understanding on faith and oneself and one's belief, as well as faith into one's way of living. Because if you sat down with me, and I tell this to everybody that I counsel, I do counseling too, I say, did you look at their point of view? Do you understand their perspective? I don't need to ask you the question of, do you understand your perspective? Do you understand your view? No, because you already understand those things. It's the concepts that you do not understand is the ones you need to look at, not the ones that you do understand, because that is how you look at a view of belief. Because no matter what you do, I don't care if you pick up a book. When you say, first thing comes out of your mouth when you pick up a book is, I'm going to read this book. What I just say? I am going to what? Believe in reading this book. And if you read the book, you complete the book, you have faith to read that book. Your actions reflect the attitude and reflects your future emotions. For every motion, there is a greater perpetual motion and a reaction for every action. And that's the best I can give out to you all today. So I'm going to just say it today. I appreciate everybody calling and coming in today. You can hear the phone in the background, texting, tapping. I'm trying to answer some of these people's questions out here. And, you know, it's been a crazy, crazy day. Also, I want everybody to listen up. we are going to have an NSF three-day fest. All right? So stay tuned. Keep your looking out. Go to the website, NSF Radio Station with an S.com. Keep it looking. Keep it watching. We're going to be having a festival in Maine, but we're also going to be trying to do set this up in different states. So, you know, we're trying to make something happen. Keep it going. So this summer, we got some big plans, and we would love for y'all to be and participate, whether it's rock and roll, talk, poetry, you know what I'm saying, hip-hop, country. We're going to be at great food from around the world. So check this out. Go to the website. Check it out, the events, programs. Dates will be there. We'll be updated. You just keep it going, and we'll keep it moving. All right? So I want to say thank you to the Powerhouse Squad, everybody in the house, on my team, everybody. I want to say thank you. I love y'all. And remember, we're hitting part two next week. And we got a Mother's Day special coming up. And this is going to be called Survival. Okay? So we're bringing everybody on that we know that has been a cancer survivor, a diabetes survivor, a NOMA survivor. Somebody with terminal diseases that has great stories. So we want to bring somebody on that show for Mother's Day to honor their mothers, honor them themselves, honor great people that we know. All right? My name is Brother Alfred. There's Brother Tone, Brother Kofi. Hope we'll be back next week. All right, Sister Sophia is always in the house. So we want to say to you, this is the Powerhouse Squad. And we would like to say, sound up, time to go.
Hey.
You know what
next time.
It's the Powerhouse Squad. The Powerhouse Squad of radio.
The Powerhouse Squad. The wisdom has left the house. Tone Robbins.
Live and direct, man.
Kofie Afore.
Video. I am Hills Kofie Footy.
And Brother Al. Hey, what's up? You know, it's not just the wisdom, it's the basis of understanding of the subject. Our newest member to the Powerhouse Squad,
Sophia Alexandria.
The Power Squad has gone home. See you, folks.